For some, the sea is not a place. It is a calling, a home away from home. If you find yourself drawn to the water, we can take you there. Imagine you, your friends, and family on a private yacht in the most beautiful places in the world, from the Bahamas or the Virgin Islands to Greece, Italy, Tahiti, and beyond. This is a yacht charter vacation with The Moorings, and it's easier than you think. Inquire today. Your next great vacation begins at moorings.com. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
A Factual Data Creation Facility production. Welcome to the OFNT Podcast, episode 233, which I'm calling Labor Day Moderation. Nah, I'm not referring to the consumption of alcohol. The meaning of that title will become apparent in the tech news section. Yeah, we're still packing, but won't be for much longer. Well, at least I hope. The more we pack, the more stuff we find to pack or discard. Mostly old toys now. I'm still recovering from last week's drive up from Tennessee, which went well until we hit the New York area. The lesson learned is no matter what time you're entering New York, expect delays. And that seems to be the rule, not the exception. Well, at least there will be less trips down and back. I'd say we have two round trips left before the final one-way trip. All right, speaking of moving, let's get a move on now.
Yes!
Before I start, here's a quick story. We took a trip into Manhattan last Wednesday. The whole thing was my son's idea. He recommended that we take one last trip to the neighborhood where my family had lived for generations and to have some famous Ray's Pizza, which established itself there in the early 1980s. At first, I wasn't into the idea, but I came around and I'm glad that we took the trip. My family had lived there in the same apartment building from the late 1800s until 2004. That's when my cousin Joe passed away. He was the last to call the building home. The building is located at 471 Columbus Avenue. That's about a half a city block from the Museum of Natural History and the Hayden Planetarium. These days, the area is considered a ritzy neighborhood.
Yes.
When my family immigrated from Germany in the 1890s, it was a blue-collar neighborhood filled with Irish and German immigrants who worked at the many factories that were located in the area at the time. By the time I came along, it had turned into a dangerous slum. Its streets were lined with garbage and feces circa the late 60s until the mid-70s. Most inhabitants then were strung out on heroin, which brought with it crime and prostitution. I recall looking out of my grandmother's apartment window at night and seeing the pimps cruising up and down Columbus Avenue, with some eating at the local Greasy Spoon across the street, called Joe's Restaurant. The cars and dress of the pimps were exactly as portrayed in movies and television series which are set in that era. Old Joe's Restaurant survived until the mid-1990s before shutting down, making way for the current high-end eateries that now occupies its former spot. The neighborhood started turning around in the early 1980s with the construction of the 20th Precinct of the New York Police Department on 82nd Street. That's the precinct my father retired from in the mid-80s. Well, first the yuppies came, then their families, and then the rich discovered the area, driving the yuppies out. The only places still standing from my youth are the liquor store, the Bethel Holy Roller Church, and Zingoni's Fruit Market. The original Zingoni's son actually bought the building my family resided in back in the 70s, that after my great uncle declined to do so. He was the super of the building and was offered it first for the sum of $150,000. Of course, that building is worth millions these days. My family had lived through the Great Depression, which scarred their business sense. They held on to their money tightly. Another example of this skinflintness was my own father, who could have bought a brownstone house right around the corner on 81st Street from a friend for $10,000. Well, he scoffed at the idea. Now, if you don't have the money, of course you can't buy anything, but both my father and great uncle did have the money. They just couldn't convince themselves to part with it. We actually visited that brownstone house last Wednesday, and I couldn't help but think how the purchase of it would have changed my family's trajectory. Now you add in the mispurchase of the 471 Columbus Avenue property, and who knows how my life would have been different. What could have been? After that, we took a walk to Central Park and went to Belvedere Castle. I hadn't been there since I was a kid. Well, it seemed much larger back then. We were going to go to the museum, but the weather Wednesday was very hot and humid, so we decided to just head back home. It was nice seeing the old place again. It's been over 10 years, but it was also sad, knowing that no one from my family will ever live in that neighborhood again, and I will probably never see it again. Oh, the pizza at Ray's was as good as I remember it being. Still not as good as the recently reopened Rose Pizza of Penn Station, though. Tech news. Well, a lot went on this week concerning social media, with the top story being the arrest of messaging and social media platform Telegram's CEO Pavel Durov in France. After spending a couple of nights in jail, Mr. Durov was released on bail and was forbidden to leave France. He's charged with lack of moderation, read censorship on the Telegram platform, along with the lack of cooperation with law enforcement, read government-supervised censorship. His arrest has sent shockwaves throughout the social media industry, with X's CEO, Elon Musk, stating he'll be very careful in the future in regards to where he travels. On the bright side, I'm sure downloads of Telegram will increase because many will be led to believe that Telegram must be really secure after this arrest. Perhaps this was the whole reason for this event. Telegram offers end-to-end encryption only in person-to-person messages, and you have to opt in to that function before you get it on each separate conversation you have using the app. Telegram uses its own encryption standard that fails muster according to open-source reviewers. You also have to register for Telegram using your personal phone number, which is a big no-no. Same goes with Signal and most of the other so-called secure messaging platforms. The only platforms that don't require a phone number that I know of anyway to register for the use of their apps is Wickr Business and Threema. Now, Wickr used to have a personal use option, but that was discontinued in favor of the paid subscription business option. Threema has a one-time fee of about $5 and basically has an option to register your phone number to find your contacts, but the company doesn't recommend it. You can add contacts via QR codes either by message or the method I'd recommend. That is, if you really want to be off the grid. And that's by scanning the QR codes in person. I used Telegram when it was first released back in what many considered to be the day, as a way to communicate with my then Android-bound son in order to have most of the advantages that iMessage had without him having to have an iPhone. I also used Telegram during my Windows Phone days just because I could. Well, hats off to Telegram for even having a Windows Phone app. My son still uses Telegram, but only has one contact who refuses to enter the walled garden of Apple. This may change next month because Apple will be supporting the Rich Communication Service Standard, which will eventually bring most of the features of iMessages to all phones, regardless of operating system. The only thing missing from Apple's version of RCS is encrypted messaging, but this will be fixed when an encryption protocol is agreed upon. Let's face it, none of these secure messaging platforms are 100% secure.
No.
If I were to guess, all have back doors, with some open wider than others. And Telegram is no exception. Threema is probably the best option for now, because Threema barely moves the needle in usage, so their back door isn't as wide open as its competitors' back doors are. In my opinion, Mr. Durov will come to some sort of agreement with the powers to be, where he'll trade some of Telegram's security for his own freedom. Top court orders ban on Elon Musk's ex in Brazil, reads the headline from an article on techradar.com. From the article, quote, a top court in Brazil ordered an immediate countrywide suspension of the X platform on Friday after a months-long legal battle with Elon Musk's social media company over content moderation, according to Bloomberg, unquote. Moderation, Are we seeing a pattern here?
Yes.
Governments around the world, including the U.S.'s government, want to control the information available to its citizens. They use public safety and other buzzwords to justify this, but all it amounts to is censorship, plain and simple. Next to the control of money, governments consider control of info as being the key to control of you, as they launch us into this brave new world, which was decided upon during meetings of the World Economic Forum, G20, Council for Foreign Affairs, and other gatherings of the elite ruling class. Well, you can bet that this new world the elites will attempt to usher in will be good for them, but not for the average person. The Brazilian court also implemented fines up to $8,900 for Brazilian residents who use virtual private networks, also known as VPNs, to access the social media platform. Well, I have trust that my fellow humans will figure out a way around this draconian ban of X. I wonder if the CCP's TikTok is also banned in Brazil.
No.
Well, of course not. The Brazilian government would never ban a product from their sister communist organization, and the CCP probably has delivered enough cash to them to ensure a ban on TikTok will never happen. Well, God help us. Spokespersons for X have stated that the platform will publish the Brazilian court's demands in the coming days and will not comply with its orders. From FoxBusiness.com, judge allows lawsuit by Elon Musk's ex against left-wing Media Matters to proceed, unquote. From the article, quote, a federal judge in Texas allowed a lawsuit filed by Elon Musk's ex against the liberal group Media Matters to proceed to trial after denying the group's dismissal request, unquote. Well, Media Matters is a left-wing organization founded in 2004 with funds from the odious Soros-backed Center for American Progress. Like the communist regimes in countries around the world, titles for these far-left organizations actually mean the opposite of what they really are. The list of people and organizations that donate money to Media Matters reads like a who's who of radical leftists. Not only does a Soros outfit like the Center for American Progress donate to Media Matters, but Soros himself contributed $1 million towards its founding. Other contributors include John Podesta, who was the chief of staff for Hillary Clinton. And yeah, the old bird herself chipped in, along with the New York Times. Media Matters is just one in an interlocking web of so-called media watchdogs, whose main goals are to target conservative media and to keep the Democratic Party in power. And that's in order to lay the groundwork for the eventual New World Order. Most are classified as non-governmental organizations who are mainly funded, wait for it, by the government.
What?
I've explained this all before in previous episodes, so I won't go into it again here. This current lawsuit was filed along with one for Media Matters co-conspirator, Global Alliance for Responsible Media, better known as GARM. Because of the lawsuit against it, GARM was dissolved and no longer exists. What GARM and Media Matters were, or I should say accused of, is organizing a boycott of advertising on the X platform by using manipulated data to justify said boycott. This caused the then-fledgling X to lose close to or even exceeding billions of dollars in ad revenue. Well, if Mr. Musk wasn't the richest person in the world, he would have probably had to either sell or fold X. This is how these NGOs and leftist front companies roll. The big complaint against X is that these radicals think there's not enough moderation on the platform. Yeah, moderation again. Yep, I can definitely see that aforementioned pattern here.
Hello there.
These lefties want to see X return to its Twitter days, where the censorship was applied only to one side. With the lawsuit able to proceed, Hopefully Media Matters will be forced to dissolve like Graham did. Well, probably not. Odious Soros will just give them a cash infusion if the judgment goes against them. Even if Media Matters goes away, there's always another organization ready to take its place. Fighting against them can be compared to playing whack-a-mole. Here's a story that will have you trusting in government cybersecurity. Well, not really. Quote, Georgia Tech failed to secure systems that handled sensitive government data. And that's the headline from PCMag.com. Georgia Tech, the recipient of over $1 billion worth of U.S. Department of Defense contracts, are accused by whistleblowers of not securing their computers and servers, which, of course, is required by the terms of those contracts. And why, you may ask? Well, because they found them too burdensome. Burdensome. Well, there's a college-worthy word for you. The whistleblowers go on to accuse Georgia Tech's lab directors of refusing to develop a security plan and push back on IT departments that wanted to install basic antivirus and anti-malware software.
What?
Hey, you want to hear something funny?
Okay.
Part of the Georgia Tech Lab's mission statement includes, and I quote, to address the security of emerging technology critical to our nation, unquote. The whole situation is just a laugh riot, isn't it? The lab is also accused of fabricating compliance reports that were sent to the Department of Defense. Hey, but don't worry, the currently inept U.S. Department of Justice has joined the whistleblowers in a lawsuit against Georgia Tech. See, notice has got to be really bad. We'll probably be hearing of some major hack occurring there in the future. If the DOJ would launch a criminal investigation into this situation, and let's be real here, they probably won't, I'd bet they would find the lab manned by foreign-born former students of Georgia Tech, and perhaps a nice unexplained infusion of cash by an entity of a certain country.
China.
This is a serious problem, and I'm sure other Western countries, where foreign students with not-so-nice intentions get to stay in the country after graduation and are given priority for sensitive jobs within the university research system. But then again, what do I really know? I'm just a retiree who worked for the Department of Homeland Security and processed these never-leaving foreign-born American university graduates by the hundreds. So, are you feeling better about the U.S. government cybersecurity now?
No!
Well, I guess I'll wrap up the tech news section right here. Oh, wait a minute. I almost forgot. Apple announced the date of their annual iPhone event last week. It will be held on September 9th and is titled, It's Glow Time. Hey, get it? Instead of Showtime, it's Glow Time. I presume the title is referring to the new AI-infused Siri digital assistant. Instead of a circle with a moving blob being displayed when summoned, the edges of the device screen will light up. You know, I haven't been this disinterested in an Apple event since my Never Apple days. AI doesn't excite me, nor does yet another button added to the body of the iPhone. I'm looking forward to seeing RCS in iOS, though, and have a bit of interest in the Apple Watch 10 and new AirPods Pro, if they are indeed announced. Heck, I don't even have an interest in any of the new M4 chipped computers rumored to be introduced during the event. Now, I'll be watching the event in order to see if there's any surprises, but I don't think there will be. I'll give a quick take on the Glow Time event on the following Sunday's episode. Are you excited for the Glow Time event? Oh, I guess you would be if it's time to upgrade your iPhone. Tech I'm using. Well, unfortunately, there's still not much going on here. All my tech is functioning well with no problems. The replacement Philips Sonicare electric toothbrush handle is functioning well. I sent the old, well, four-month-old malfunctioning handle back to Philips as instructed. Hopefully the analysis of it will help prevent future handles expiring so young. I was also given a generous extended warranty until February of 2027 on the new handle. My old top-of-the-line Sonicare brush quit after 3 years, so I'm guessing that's what they're built to last for these days. The reviews on Amazon reflect this, as people write that they have had older models which had lasted 10 years plus, and complain of the newer models only lasting but a few years. The cause of this might be attributed to the shifting of manufacturing from the Netherlands to a particular place in Asia.
China!
I've also noticed this in regards to Braun electric razors. I purchased one back in the mid-1980s that was made in Germany, and it shaved me so close that it felt like it was taking off multiple layers of skin. I had that razor for over 5 years until it was lost while I was deployed during Desert Storm. Eventually, I purchased another Braun, but by this time the company had been bought by, I think it was Remington. Like most things these days, it was also built somewhere in Asia.
China.
The build quality was garbage, so the price was double what I had paid for the old Braun, the one made in Germany. That razor never produced a close shave, so I sidelined it. While packing up for our move, I actually found that Braun and threw it straight into the trash where it belonged. These days, I use a Panasonic Arc electric razor, which is made in Japan. While it doesn't shave as close as that old Braun, it comes close enough. Anyhow, my 15-inch MacBook Air has become my main computing device lately. The keyboard has broken in nicely and the screen is fantastic. Next trip down to the new place, I plan on relocating my desktop there and using the MacBook to record podcast episodes while I'm up here in New York. Though the new iPhone event is coming up soon, my lovely wife and I have no interest in the new iPhone models.
Wow.
Being old farts, we don't have any interest in artificial intelligence. And besides, we just upgraded our iPhones last year. Now, I don't know about my wife, but I'm going to try and hang on to my iPhone 15 Pro Max until the iPhone SE gets the display island versus the notch the new model SE will be equipped with. As I've said before, with age comes less mobility, so the phone has become less important to me. My wife will be waiting for a foldable iPhone. We'll see what comes first. If the new iPhone SE releases in early 2025, the newer version, hopefully equipped with that display island, will come out sometime in 2028. Who knows when or if Apple will ever release an iPhone in a foldable format. Either way, I hope our current iPhones last that long. Well, time will tell, won't it? As I've said previously, we are interested in the new model of the Apple Watch, which is expected to be announced alongside of the new iPhones. Our old Series 7s are getting long in the tooth with battery life slowly fading. I'm hoping for a nice redesign, blood pressure monitoring, and the return of blood oxygen monitoring. Well, once again, I'm debating whether to keep my Microsoft 365 personal subscription going. I mean, it only costs me a little over $2 per month, but the only feature I really use is the additional OneDrive space. I never use Teams or the web version of Word that's included. Might be better served just going for a plain vanilla OneDrive subscription with more storage. With my luck, I'd have a reason for Word and Teams shortly after canceling that subscription. There's a whole lot of Microsoft Windows users out there, some of my family included. Speaking of which, Proton Docs needs a serious UI and feature upgrade. Features such as double line spacing and others are missing, or at least I can't find them. Hopefully this will be rectified soon. For now, I'm sticking with Apple Pages.
For some, the sea is not a place. It is a calling, a home away from home. If you find yourself drawn to the water, we can take you there. Imagine you, your friends, and family on a private yacht in the most beautiful places in the world, from the Bahamas or the Virgin Islands to Greece, Italy, Tahiti, and beyond. This is a yacht charter vacation with The Moorings, and it's easier than you think. Inquire today. Your next great vacation begins at moorings.com.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Entertainment news. I don't know about you, but besides the agendas, race-swapping, and forced sexual identities being shoehorned into entertainment media, I'm really getting tired of girl boss action movies. It seems that every single action movie released these days is led by a girl boss character. You know, in the past, I liked Alien, Nikita, Haywire, Atomic Blonde, and many others. But now it seems every darn action movie is a girl boss movie. They've even tried gender-changing older intellectual properties like Ghostbusters. Now, most of these movies are flops, as the general public is tired of this. Doesn't Hollywood realize that the primary audience for action flicks are men?
Yes.
And are they trying to invent a female audience for these types of movies?
Yes.
Well, I don't know, but it's gotten so bad that a reboot of Fight Club with an all-female cast has been greenlit for production.
What the hell?
Well, I say enough. Can they just stop this already?
No.
Like previous female replacement cast movies, I predict this rebooted Fight Club movie will be a major flop. Is anyone really even asking for these movies?
No!
I watched the first episode of the new season of Only Murders in the Building last week. From the previews, I thought that the season was set in Los Angeles, California, which sort of disappointed me. Part of the show's charm is that it's set in New York during the autumn season. While part of this first episode is indeed set in L.A., it shifts back to New York, which was a relief. The episode was good, and I hope Only Murders in the Building goes on for at least another 4 years. Actor and comedian Steve Martin has stated that this series will be his swan song, and after this series wraps, he'll be retiring. It's hard to find entertaining television series these days that feature great acting, writing, and sets. The actors have great chemistry also on the show. I'll be sad when it ends. Usually I wait until late autumn before I watch that series because being that I'm in New York, the season of the year matches and all episodes are available for streaming at one time. Being that I'll be living in a different place with a different climate come this autumn, I decided to start watching the show now, which of course is late summer. My lovely wife and I watched the Korean-made thriller series The Frog on Netflix last week. We watched all 8 episodes over 3 nights. While we enjoyed it, I thought it could have been made better. We got lost towards the later episodes and became confused over the characters. Still, The Frog was entertaining and better than most of the US-based series being made today. Speaking of which, I'm looking forward to the new seasons of Tulsa King, Beacon 23, From, and The Old Man. Are there any shows you could recommend to me? Well, if you can, drop me a line at ofntpodcast@gmail.com if you would. Well, Friday evening, we watched the movie Fall Guy on the Peacock streaming service. Now, Fall Guy had some success in theaters, a rarity these days, but at least a quarter of the movie could or should have been left on the editor's floor. My lovely wife quickly lost interest in the movie, first scrolling on her iPhone and then falling asleep. I must say that my attention wandered also, but I did manage to keep awake. Fall Guy had some good parts dispersed between mindless banter between the main character and his love interest. The twists and turns were very predictable. Now here comes a spoiler alert. In the end, the good guy gets the girl, and they live happily ever after. The one good thing I can point to about Fall Guy was that there were no politics, sexual orientation, agendas, or messages injected into the movie. And that's a really good thing for these days. That's probably why the movie actually made money in the theaters instead of flopping like most others. Now, could it have been done better? Sure, but a better editing job would have easily fixed the problems with this movie. Though I really didn't enjoy this movie, it did give me hope that Hollywood is slowly coming back to making movies without trying to lecture its audience. Well, move over, Netflix, a new streaming service is coming to town. Well, according to various news outlets, fast food chain Chick-fil-A is planning on launching its own streaming platform later this year.
What?
The platform will focus on family-friendly content to include scripted shows and perhaps animated programs. Where have I heard this before? Oh, that's right. The Daily Wire launched the BentKey streaming service, which is also geared towards wholesome family-friendly entertainment. And that wasn't too long ago. Hey, competition's a good thing. I don't know how well BentKey is doing, but I do know that Chick-fil-A has a lot more money than the Daily Wire has, so this report is nothing to sneer at. This trend towards family-friendly programming is in response to media companies jamming their various political ideologies into all facets of entertainment, and includes children's entertainment. There is an ever-increasing market for this, and if I had young children, I'd probably sign up for one of these services myself. Podcast news. The Kelce brothers, well, you know who they are, right?
No.
Well, they're American football players, and one of them happens to be dating Taylor Swift. Anyway, they have a podcast, but who doesn't these days? Am I right?
Yes.
The name of the podcast is New Heights, and that must signify the $100 million the brothers were handed by Amazon's Wondery podcast platform. Well, I guess the boys are cashing in on those Swifty bucks, and who can blame them? Until this announcement, I hadn't heard anything about this podcast, neither good nor bad. Wondery must be banking on Taylor Swift's humongous audience to become listeners of this once obscure podcast, and they're probably right. This new audience is into everything Taylor Swift, and besides listening for any tidbits about Swift from Kelce brother Travis, and he's the one that's having a relationship with the music superstar.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, these drones probably anticipate Ms. Swift to make an appearance on the show. And if these fans' dreams come true, Swift might make multiple appearances on the New Heights podcast.
Wow!
This Wondery signing comes on the heels of the acquisition of Dax Shepard's Armchair Expert podcast. So, as Spotify continues to shed celebrity-hosted podcasts, Amazon, through its Wondery label, is adding these types of shows. I think Spotify is the company doing the right thing here. A lot, if not most, of these celebrity podcasts eventually crash and burn as listener tastes shift. Also, what happens to New Heights if Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift happen to break up? I used podnews.net as a source for this story, and I must add, grudgingly so. TheStreet.com has an article with the headline, SiriusXM's Last Desperate Effort to Grow, unquote. This article is in response to SiriusXM's recent signing of the Call Her Daddy podcast to yet another $100 million contract within the Podcasting Incorporated world. I covered rumors of this in the last episode. Call Her Daddy was started by two, how should I put it, women whose sexual parts like putting out the old welcome mat, if you get my drift.
Yes.
The show consisted of the two women discussing in detail their sexual encounters. The show was picked up by Barstool Sports in 2018, but one co-host, Alex, outmaneuvered the other more ditzy one, cut her out of the podcast, then abandoned Barstool for more money by signing with Spotify. Spotify, which I've reported ad nauseum here, has been shedding these overly expensive podcasts, probably realizing that these exclusives aren't worth the time, effort, or money. SiriusXM really doesn't have much luck with exclusive podcasts. Last year, they signed Smartless, yet another celebrity-hosted show, which was jettisoned by Amazon's Wondery for, you guessed it, $100 million. Now, since SiriusXM acquired exclusive rights to Smartless, the podcast has fallen in popularity, as has the Call Her Daddy podcast. Well, that didn't take long, did it? Perhaps this big-moneyed intervention into what was once a thriving, basically celebrity-free space will eventually come to an end. I know the podcasting space has changed since this celebrity and moneyed invasion, and not for the better. Well, at least for me. My audience numbers have never recovered, and I'm sure other independent podcasters have suffered the same fate. Podcasting used to be a space where anybody had a shot at success. That's not how it is these days. Most independents are doing podcasts just for the love of the medium. And if they make money, well, that's considered a bonus. Once my personal life settles down, I'm looking at ditching advertising and going the full value for value model. We'll just have to see. Now, you're probably sick of hearing about my trials and tribulations with podcasting 2.0 listening apps, but I promise this will be the last time that I mention it. Podcasting 2.0 compliant apps include at least the basic features of the Podcasting 2.0 standards, which were created by the Podfather, Adam Curry. And that was in response to the deplatforming of many podcasts from the Apple, Spotify, and other podcast indexes. The main feature of Podcasting 2.0 is the ability to choose to use the podcast index, which, unlike the other indexes out there, will never deplatform any podcast. And that's their promise. Other features of the standard are live broadcasting, switchable art, and stuff like that. Being enthusiastic about Podcasting 2.0, I tried just about every compliant app out there. Podverse, Podcast Guru, Fountain, and many others. Some have the latest and greatest features, while others, well, just the bare minimum. There's something to be said about the keep it simple, stupid, or KISS principle, though. That's why I've pretty much settled on Castomatic as my primary listening app. The app is the cheapest to subscribe to, and though it got off to a rocky start, it has steadily improved over the years into a very stable experience. The user's interface is simple, and I find it attractive. You can use the podcast index, boost your favorite shows in the app, display changing chapter art, and your favorite shows will be available for listening minutes after they're uploaded. Oh, and the app syncs with the web version of Castomatic. The only problem I've encountered with Castomatic is the Apple CarPlay feature. For some reason, the app won't play the next episode in your queue. Well, I'm sure the developer is aware and is working on this. Castomatic is the only podcast app I subscribe to now. So if you're in the market for a Podcasting 2.0 compliant listening app and you don't need all the fancy features of the others, Castomatic is a solid choice. The music is playing and I'm starting to wrap up episode 233 of the OFNT podcast on this late summer evening. Hope you enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed making it for you. If you like what you heard, you can make a donation using the link in the show notes. Any and all donations will be greatly appreciated. You can always reach me at ofntpodcast@gmail.com. If, and only if, you're so inclined. I would enjoy hearing from you. Yeah, I really would. Remember, don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. Well, enjoy the ample size of my New York yard while you can. After that appreciation, can you do me a solid and just get off my lawn? Well, stay skeptical. I'm out.
See ya.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.